Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us on another episode of the Pastors for Punch TV with host Joy Brown. Ms. Brown, how are you on this TGIF Friday?
I am absolutely wonderful. And how are you?
I am blessed and highly favored.
Yes. So what's
going
on?
You have a special guest today.
I do.
You have a special guest.
Oh, no. We are just rolling with this show.
Yes, we are. It's the second week already, and we've been having so much fun.
I know. It has been absolutely a roller coaster. That means it's going up, it is going down, and now it's getting ready to go around that curve, you know, the curve that make you have the little butters in your stomach when you're on a roller coaster. That's
yes,
me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm happy. Then guess who we have on here today? And I don't even know if Miss Stephanie knows just what a blessing it is to have her here with us. Pastor Stephanie, are you here?
I am here, Sister Brown. I certainly am. Yes.
What we do here, before we let you loose, we introduce our guests. Now, Sharifa, you want me to do that today, or did you want to do that? I like the way you say it.
Well, you know, I am here to help. I am here to serve. So we definitely want to make sure we give a proper introduction. So we have the honor and the privilege of having Interfaith Shield Network Ministries, Pastor Stephanie Maxwell Robles, which is one of God's own, as a pastor, preacher, teacher, singer, songwriter, talk show host, and producer. And I'm sure there are probably other labels as well, but Mrs. Maxwell Robles has done it all. After graduating from Cleveland State University with a bachelor's degree in film, promotional communication, and cultural arts management, she completed a PDM, personally designed major. God began to shape, mold, and groom Mrs. Maxwell Robles for the many divine and spiritual hats she would wear later. Ms. Robles, thank you. Maxwell Robles, thank you for joining us today in the Punch Bowl for the Pastors for Punch TV.
Oh, you are so welcome. What an honor and a pleasure. I just am so humbled to be here today and to represent the Lord and hopefully be able to contribute to your stellar vehicle that you have going here.
Yeah, you know, like the Bible says, well, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And what is so phenomenal about his days, he already created this day long time ago, and he included us, and this show appeared. So we have a guest that is so well known in the city of LA and San Diego. We had a discussion about her, the ministry that she has, and what I want to do is just go ahead and allow you to tell us about your ministry, because what Punch TV Studio and our CEO is allowing is for pastors to have a platform and tell their story, document the history of the ministry. So this is an opportunity that has been given us, and I want you to go ahead and begin to tell us something about your ministry and who you are.
Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. And certainly thank you for the opportunity. I'm not quite sure how far I should go back, but I can definitely say that the Lord has walked with me my entire life. Coming up basically, I guess, to the present day, as that bio stated, right after graduation, the Lord started dealing with me in doing a talk show. I had did a personally designed major at Cleveland State University, as the young lady mentioned, of film, promotional communication, and cultural arts management. And at that time, God was preparing me to enter into what I knew would be some sort of entrepreneurial effort, my own business. I had always been business inclined. And so that was, yes, thank you. That was kind of the plan early on, was to kind of be self-sufficient leaving school and to be able to utilize all those skills. Like probably a lot of pastors, I had so many interests that I couldn't just stay focused on
one major.
It couldn't just be communications, or it couldn't just be film, you know. It was just given to me in so many, in a diversified way.
So can we assume to say that there's many roles to success? And when you have destiny, it leads you to the main role where you're going, because it's like being available in different areas, but it is a place in your life where God allows you to experience so many things, but it always points to Him.
Praise God.
So was this one of your dreams when you were a kid, that this is where you wanted to go, or was it actually into media, or what particular area were you focusing on?
You know, as a child, I really had the desire to sing. That's probably one of the first, and it definitely is, it was at the forefront, one of the first remembrances that I had. I knew that that avenue could eventually go into entertainment, whether if it was dancing, I liked to dance as well, whether if it was acting. But the greatest desire I had as a child was to sing.
Wow, okay. So did you have like those side gigs where you went out to do some engagements?
You know, I never performed. There were some opportunities that came close. And I think for me, as I moved on into junior high school and high school, I definitely became more politically inclined, more just socially inclined. I remember being like a founder of my high school's first African American student union.
Wow.
And I became involved in things that were important to us as African American students on campus. Just wanting our voice to be heard, wanting our needs to be heard. I would have never, at least not to this extent, would have imagined that it would have lended itself to a greater leadership role. So at the end of the day,
Pastor Stephanie, I'm sorry, were you like an Angela Davis type of woman in school?
well, probably so. I think we had to shut a few things down. We did. It was it was a real exciting time for us. We weren't the first Black student union or African student union on that campus, There had been a former group that was established at that school, which was San Diego High School. Shout out to San Diego High and San Diego. I believe they had their first group somewhere in like the late 60s, early 70s, and rightfully so. And the group, you know, kind of just, I guess, disbanded over time. And then a new breed came in. You know, I'm a part of that 90s generation. I'm telling my age a little bit here, where, you know, even the hip hoppers, it just was becoming a resurgence of cultural, you know, just consciousness and awareness and respect and just our place in a lot of avenues, be it business and education and leadership. And that's what, that was the climate of that time.
Okay. So with that being said, you were actually spearheading into the political forum, in a sense.
Yes, yes, I was. Yes, I was. I was moving in those areas. And as I got ready to graduate and go on to a higher institution of learning, it had been prophesied to me early on from some people. And I just kind of want to throw this in there that I did not grow up in church like, you know, a lot of people may have. I had a God-fearing grandmother who had the gift of prophecy. And whenever she spoke on something, that situation always ended up how she spoke about it.
Wow. Okay. So she was a what they call a seer.
She was a seer. Yes, she was.
Right.
Now, my mother was a very hardworking woman, and she took care of myself and my sister. And I always knew as a child that there was a calling. We weren't raised in church. You know, we had opportunities to go with other families when we were little. And I had that gift, too. There were just things that God showed me. I just knew just really far beyond my years, even as a child.
Right. And I think that's what happened. Okay. I'm going to make a statement because a lot of people think that because they're not raised in church, that God, Jesus, cannot reach them. And he can reach you wherever you are, even though you're not in, quote-unquote, church. You know, that was the norm at one time for kids to be in church, Sunday school, whatever they have. Even if the parents didn't go, they would drop the kids off. But when you have a young lady like you and men of God that are coming up with their testimonies and what they were in, that was not their normal schedule of Sunday morning at church and then on Tuesday or Wednesday or Friday, then that same pattern all over again. Yours was totally different, but he still was reaching you wherever you were. And if you're having not even dreams or visions where you recognize that the Spirit had his hand on you at an early age, that's phenomenal to me because it's almost natural for me to know who he is because I was raised in church. So that's like common for me. For you, although your grandmother prayed and spoke things, that was not your everyday life.
Amen. Amen. As a child and a youth, and there was always like a heaviness. And people would often tell me that there was something there. There's something about your presence. And I would tell them, you know, I know it's there. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with it yet, but I do know it's there.
Right.
And that it completely, it lines up with God's word. You know, the Bible says that he foreknew us before we were in our parents' womb. And I think when God puts a call on your life and has brought you here for a specific purpose, and we all have a purpose, he's going to see that purpose brought to fruition. And it's in his timing, not our own.
That's true.
So if I couldn't express or encourage anything today, it's just for young people to continue to keep their prayer life open and be open, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if you feel that there is something higher and greater calling you, don't harden your heart or turn your cheek, because there is. And he's your heavenly Father. He's your God. He's our God.
Yes. And, you know, that's when the initial calling is when you're young and you're not understanding what it is. Your spirit is in tune because you're so sensitive. Kids are sensitive to the spirit.
Yes.
That's why they
yes.
say a lot of time a baby, when it's someone that comes around in that area, he either likes that person or he can feel something about that individual that's not right, and they don't easily surrender to someone that is not like-minded mm-hmm. or like-spirit. And the kids
yeah.
know. They may
yeah.
not, and sometimes they tell parents, I don't like him, or it's something they said, and the parents are saying, oh, he's okay, it's all right. No, the baby is telling you something.
That's
the baby's
right.
telling you that this guy, I'm going to use the word, this guy is a molester, or telling you that this guy
yes.
is up to no good, or he's sneaky.
Yes.
Kids has a keen sense of spirit when it comes to people, but it's the parents sometimes overlook those things. So God uses kids at an early age when he brings them in. That's why they're so easily led.
Yes, he gave us that defense mechanism for a reason, you know,
mm-hmm.
To protect ourselves. That's why it's so important, like for shows like this and to have these conversations and talk, because we serve a very real God, and
right.
we have to be able to listen to that inner spirit, the Holy Spirit, when he's guiding us, and
mm-hmm.
not quench the spirit or quench what we're being led to do, because
mm-hmm.
you don't want that sense ever to be dulled or just taken away from you altogether. It's given to you for a reason and a purpose.
Now, Pastor Stephanie, I had a question for you.
Yes.
Now, you mentioned that your grandmother was had the gift of prophecy, and then you found out that you had the gift of prophecy. What was that revelation like for you, and how did it appear? How did it show up?
Well, it was always there. I remember just sitting down and having conversations with people, with friends. I remember even stating when I was a child, I would tell my friends, knowing that we did not go to church regularly or have a regular church schedule, I would say, well, you know, I feel like once I get older, that's going to be the time that I get saved and start going to church. Even that inner knowing, and that's exactly how it took place then, or how it took place later, that inner knowing was there. The process, once God started calling me, was right after college. Even though he was walking with me and talking with me at school and showing me things and throughout life, and believe me, I've had to go through some things. You know, there's been some struggle with this oil. It has not come just handed on a so to speak. It was there, I want to say on a golden platter, but it had to be developed. And it was definitely through some testing and some trials and tribulations. The Lord allowed me to walk in the brink of some things, and he took me to the edge, but he did not allow me to fall over. He allowed me to see some things and to taste, so to speak, he allowed me to see some things up so up close that it was just unbelievable. But he had his hand on the back of my shirt, if you will, not letting me fall over. And then once
mm-hmm.
he pulled me back, he started explaining to me what these things were, you know, and
mm-hmm.
that they were not of his spirit and they were not of him, you know. And so oftentimes that those things that God brings us through or he delivers us from, he uses us to go back and minister to someone else and tell the truth. And in this day and hour, our testimonies and our ministries have to be fire. They have to be fire because that's what God has given us, especially through his Holy Spirit. The word says that he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And everything
mm-hmm.
we do and everything we touch, we have to march and walk forward with his word. And as the Bible says, we're overcomers you know, by our testimonies and the blood of the Lamb, and we're to use those things mightily. And so it was a culmination, and it was a developing over time. And so he used everything that I experienced in childhood, you know, things I went through with my mom, my dad, not, you know, just hurt, all these different things is what he used to develop that oil. And as time grew on, the prophesying grew stronger and the sighting grew stronger. And then he would just say it, what it was. And then I have to say it as well. And we all do. When you have that voice, don't quench it, because somebody needs to hear that message. You need to get out what needs to be said, whether if it's on a talk show, and we can be respectful in how we deliver. And sometimes you may have to just hit somebody over the head because that's the way they need to get it. But we have to do things in spirit and in truth, as the word says.
So how did you handle the days when it wasn't clear, when it seemed like you was actually on the wrong road and you were talking to God and it seemed like there was no answer? What is something that you held on to keep you focused?
Well, I was never on the wrong road. I think before God called, I was definitely on a pursuit of education. I always was business inclined, so I always knew that I wanted to have a good education, and I wanted to start my own business. For me, in later years, that kind of spelled out to I knew there would be some part of, like, entertainment or communication or media there. There were desires early on to do hosting. They were just there. And I was told by several people that they saw me, you know, in communications. Later on in college, it was prophesied to me by a few people that they saw me doing my own talk show. I think what happened was is that God began, and he did, he married the two. You know, oftentimes we may have desires, and God can definitely fulfill those desires, and he takes a hold of them. He takes a hold of them. I might have been hosting a cooking talk show or just a regular, you know, like show of everyday events in San Diego. But after that program, after he began to minister to me and tell me, right after graduation is when the Lord started to talk to me, and he told me he wanted me to do a show. I was not even saved at this time. I had not been saved yet. The Lord had not called me, but he was speaking to me audibly, as he has for a long time. And he told me he wanted me to do a show.
So later was that the Christian talk show?
Yes, it was. He allowed me to study in the field and to develop the blueprint. Then later on, he told me, now I want you to do a Christian talk show.
Okay. So tell us about your show. What do you discuss and talk about on your show?
Okay. Well, the first show that I developed, which was probably the beginning of the ministry, was around San Diego Christian Talk Show. And it is a Christian talk show that deals with real life and real world issues from both the biblical as well as spiritual perspective. Because I had gone through some things in my life, we're the type of show he allowed us to not do, like, fluff stuff. Not that, you know, all stuff is fluff stuff, but we went right to the meat of the heavy topics. You know, our first episode was a two-part episode on molestation. We had a part one and a part two. And we had a very prominent pastor, the bishop of my church at that time, who had an awesome testimony. It was in line with so many things that was happening in society, where so many children and people just were being touched inappropriately. You know, accusations had came out against some prominent, you know, leaders in our community and in the Christian community. And we just really wanted to tackle the topic. You know, what causes somebody to want to behave like this? What causes this type of behavior? And then once it has, you know, happened, You know, can the child or the person still be healed? And obviously they can through the blood of the Lamb.
Can I make a comment on that since you're talking about it? Because I'm a victim of being in
and
it.
And I am as well.
Yeah, so, and I was thinking about it the other day. Now, it's different with people in circular because their parents normally can get them counseling. The people, the kids in church don't go to counselors. And normally they don't really get a good understanding what it is that they're going through. And it does affect them as they get older, too. I never had counseling.
Yeah.
And so it did take the Holy Spirit to really minister to me.
Yeah.
And I did confront the person that was that victimized me.
Yeah.
And even at 4 years old, since my parents were, my father was pastoring, they allowed one of my cousins, teenagers, to come into the house and stay with us. It was a family of five then, kids, and 4 years old, that's when he took advantage of me, and he actually sexually assaulted me. So but I didn't even tell my mom about it until sometime later because I didn't even know how to talk about it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, 4 years old. And when it finally came out, the only reason I began to talk about it because I heard my aunt and my mother talk about the same individual, and he was married, and he had touched his stepdaughters inappropriately and had been doing sexual acts with them also. And I say, that's what he done to me. She couldn't believe it. She said, when? And I started talking about it. And that's what broke the ice where I'm in church and a pastor's daughter and the people that let come into our home, a cousin of mine, a teenager, that's what happened. And that's how that story came out. So you're right. And with pastors, the same thing. Things happen. Pastors are doing some things that are inappropriate to members also. But back to you.
Yes.
I just wanted to interject that.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Brown. It is such important. And those shows are vehicles for people and for God to really get in and minister and talk about that subject, because we had a couple of taboos going on just coming into that issue. Number one being African Americans. There's a history with our people and just dealing with issues like that. Anything having to deal with counseling, whether if it's mental issues, you know, getting help. We call it spilling the dirty laundry, you know, just issues with us as women or boys, if they have been touched. These are the type of issues that really knock the enemy off the top when we bring them to the forefront, because it will take an act of Jesus sometimes to not only get that perpetrator, but also to start the healing process in the community. And we as church members and lay people, we cannot shun these type of topics as if they do not exist. And I was taught a long time ago that it takes a mature Christian and someone with wisdom. Just as the Bible says, when there's an issue, we're to seek wise counsel. We have to be able to present these topics as well and deal with them with earnesty, with a sensitive touch, because it is a sensitive topic, but with love and care, but also get out the information. What I love about those first two premiere episodes is that we dealt with that situation. I myself am a survivor. My bishop at the time has a powerful testimony. He's a survivor as well. If people would like to catch these shows, they can Google them. Round San Diego Christian Talk Show, our first five episodes, is on YouTube. And it's also on my Facebook page, the Stephanie Maxwell Robles Show. Part two of that show, the episode part two, the assistant pastor at my church at my church that time, Pastor Mark Garcia, he went into, you know, everything that you were just talking about, because he was a counselor at that church. And so he was able to give the information in terms of what happened. You know, sometimes people have feelings of ambiguity, you know, they don't know if they should, you know, this is something right that was supposed to happen to them because they never experienced love. So
right,
they
exactly.
have feelings where they're going between maybe love and hate for the perpetrator. And he also just talks about spiritually what happens. So we have to be able to be imparters of the information and do it to the best of our ability, you know, with God at the helm. And it's that issue and just more important issues, other issues, important topics as well that we need to continually discuss and talk about in all of these platforms, because you have new generations and new kids and some people who never got their healing or deliverance, and it's important.
Well, you know what? That's what I think why Punch TV Studio is such a great vehicle right now, because I am looking for pastors to be partners with our network and become investors, because this is gone, and then I heard you said yesterday having a strategy. These are things that we're going to be faced with even more so with our people, and they need to have some place to go, because the world is shutting down on our nation and having adequate facilities to assist, and they would rather put you on medication to deal with your situation than to someone that is in line that could actually talk to you, let you talk, and help meet you through your situation without medicating you. Medication, we also know, is a high business. Pharmaceuticals, high business. So the first thing they want to do is put you on some drugs. So if the church is available and can set these type of programs up, then our doors should remain open, because we have the correct facilities to help people that are in need.
Absolutely. The Lord has already, The Lord has
already begun.
I'm sorry.
So let me cut you off, Pastor Stephanie. We have so much to discuss, and we definitely want to continue this conversation. But if you are listening to this show on the line and you want to join the conversation, please press 1. If you're listening to this show on your computer and you want to join the conversation, feel free to call in, speak with Joy, the host, Joy Brown, Pastor Stephanie. Give us a call, 657-38-1974. Again, that number is 657-383-1974. Press 1 to join the conversation. And we're going to go ahead and continue the conversation after this brief commercial break.
Are you an actor looking for your next role? Are you looking to audition to be cast in the next Hollywood project? One amazing way to do this is to work with Punch TV Studios, making movies and making magic. Join the actors group at Nabuki.com to find out about upcoming film projects and opportunities. It's a great place to network. Do you, Nabuki?
I'm Joseph Collins, CEO of Punch TV Studios. Growing up in South Central Los Angeles, my mother was on welfare. She fought day and night to get off welfare and give her children a better life. She would always say to me, "Son, this is the best that I can do, but you can do better." And I promised that I would do better and that I would be the catalyst for change in our community. Just like I promise you that together we can build a multi-billion dollar media company that brings wealth back to our community, that resurrects blighted areas and puts people back to work. Be part of the promise. Be part of change. Invest in Punch TV Studios for only $1 per share. Call now, 310-419-5914. That's 310-419-5914. Or visit our website at punchtvstudios.com.
Thank you. This is your host, Joy Brown, back with you with our guest, Pastor Stephanie Maxwell Robles. And we're so honored to have you on our show again today. And we're going to continue this topic, but I was reading something, and we're talking about pastors, because this is the Pastors for Punch TV Studio. And like I was saying, Punch is actually allowing our pastors to come on the show because we want to document your church history. But I'm reading something, and the topic says ex-pastors is a topic. And this is something that's major. It says, many pastors struggle with depression and discouragement. And it says 70% of pastors constantly fight depression, and 50% of pastors feel so discouraged that they would leave the ministry if they could, but they have no other way of making a living. That's huge. So that means that half of our pastors would leave the ministry each month if they had another way of making a living. How would you address this situation, Pastor Stephanie?
I would say that that is huge. And that number to me is a lie and very discouraging.
Okay.
I know that that is a heavy issue, and I've actually gone through that myself. And usually if someone is dealing with depression or anxiety, there are some unresolved issues.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the unresolved issues for me was not only some family issues, but also having dealt with the molestation.
Mm-hmm.
When we did the talk show, Pastor Garcia talked about how when we are ready to handle and deal with those things, God will bring
mm-hmm.
it to the forefront for us to deal with. Is there anything too great for our God?
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I can say, and I'm very thankful for this early on, is that when I did start going to church, once God had called me and I got saved, it was a sweet and gentle wooing. He sent me to North Park Apostolic Church in San Diego, and
mm-hmm.
the Holy Ghost was there every Sunday, and he just poured out into me. We have to stay in the fire of God. We have to stay in the righteous fire
mm-hmm.
of God always. And I understand that there are some challenges, but
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like the song says, sometimes you have to encourage yourself in the Lord.
That's true, yeah.
Whether if it's in what you read, what you see.
Mm-hmm.
Advertisers got this a long time ago, and this is why it was early on such a big part of my background. If you're thirsty and you see a commercial for Coca-Cola day in and day out, when you finally get ready to go get something to drink, what are you going to go get?
You're going to go get you a Coca-Cola.
We receive those subliminal messages all day, every day. And when the word
mm-hmm.
talks about he is going to separate the wheat from the chaff, it needs to be a complete annihilation. Where you go, what you see, what you do, what you drink, what you eat, what you see, what you hear is so important. We have to stay right in there with God. And where it is leading to me, in my opinion, and what God has shown me, he is getting ready to set up our own cities. He is getting ready to set up our own towns, our own places
mm-hmm.
where to go shop, where to go eat.
Right.
Because
exactly.
it is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
It is necessary. You are affected by the world you live in. And so I would say today, for anyone dealing with that, and I have some personal people in my life who deals with those issues,
mm-hmm.
you have to get that chongo. That's monkey for Spanish. You have to get that chongo off your back. And I would say that we need to start to deal with those issues that affect us, that historically as African Americans
mm-hmm.
we have shut out because of the things that have taken place in our society, the socioeconomic disparages. You know, there are people that have run reports and have done studies, and
mm-hmm.
we're not the only people that have had to deal with things. Rightfully so, there are other people that have cultures that have had to deal with things also. Unfortunately, we've had to be at the bottom of the barrel of a lot of those issues and not have the outlet, not have the Christian counselor to go talk to, not have the Christian pastoral program
mm-hmm.
already set up at my church to go sit down and say, hey, I'm grappling with these issues. We have to do a better job. So when God has given you the plan, you better pick
mm-hmm.
it up and you had better run with it. Because how long can he can sit here and pour out and pour out and pour out and we do nothing with it? Okay? So that's what time it is today. It's time out for people to stop crying. David had that message at a young age as a shepherd boy. He knew with the power of his God that he could take his slingshot and his little pebble and he could knock Goliath right almost off the face of this earth, and pretty much he did. We need to get back to that, okay?
So
and we also have to educate ourselves and create the programs and avenues necessary to address the Goliaths that are in our lives and in our churches.
So do you feel now that there really is a turn where God is looking now at his people crying? Because, you know, that's basically what happens when people turn away from God and they go after other gods. And, you know, that's what has been happening. You start turning after other gods. We got good jobs and we got things that's just going on. And, you know, the media, social media, is just, we're just wrapped up in it as a people, because these things are what depression will put you into a position, because it satisfies the appetite of doing, of being recognized or putting your feelings out there. It's like social media. People use that to put their feelings out on open because they're dealing with issues. So if things are actually turning and now we're really crying out for help, and then God sends some help, what is this help that we're looking for to get our people back on one accord so that we can begin to build our nation back up?
I think what's going to happen, and we're actually seeing that right now, so to speak, is the Abrahamic blessing is going to be for those who have chosen God. You know, how long can we sit and say to do this and to get this done and to work on this? We all have a short window, right? Even the word says life is but a vapor, you know. Whatever age it is, God says only he knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows your beginning and your end. Whatever it is, it's a vapor compared to eternity. We don't have a lifetime, so to speak, to accomplish those things that God has given us to do. You know, he gives all of us time. And I think what he's giving to me right now is in the word. It says, choose ye this day whom you will serve, you know, and when you're walking with the Lord, there are some things that he has to peel off of us, just like a banana when we're coming out of the world and have dealt with all of these things. The Bible says we're in this world, but not of this world. And at some point we have to choose what type of walk we're going to have. If you're dealing with that thing that's causing you harm, you're going to have to eventually annihilate it. That's just like somebody being delivered from alcoholism. You're not going to go back to the old watering hole as a hangout saying, well, this is what I learned and this is what I know. No, we always need to be teaching the word and what it says, because it's true. You know, today, yesterday, and forevermore. Even Jesus said, once he has delivered you from a thing, stay away from that thing, because if you don't, when it comes back, it's going to come back, what, five, six, seven times stronger than what it was
stronger
before.
Than it was before. Those are strongholds. They're coming to take you out.
Strongholds.
Right.
They're
That's
coming
is,
to take you out and create generational curses.
Right, exactly.
So once the Lord has delivered you from those things, that's where maturity comes from. That's where growing up comes from. You know, even Paul said, you know, when he was a child, he did things in a childlike manner. You know, some of us are not growing up and we're not getting the meat. You know, once you get the meat and you learn that the stove is hot, you're not going to keep going and touching the stove.
Right.
So we now, have to learn how to move out those things that don't benefit us.
Now, on your bio, you are, it said include writing and publishing. Also, what is one of the books that you have written?
One of the books that I have written that will come forth very soon here is called The Book of Wisdom. And it's a volume one. And it's a collection of three stories that are really just life-changing. I can say that because I didn't write the stories myself. The Holy Spirit did.
Right.
I'm just the vessel, the conduit. And it discusses some really heavy life issues And the way that the stories start off, and eventually they will be made into films as well, they start off as everyday people. And throughout the course of the story, without giving too much information, you know, things mm-hmm. kind of pick up, life kind of picks up in circumstances. And every one of the characters is brought back to a place of where they have to bring this problem to God. They're brought back to God. And so it very much so mirrors, you know, a lot of situations in our everyday life. When God is the key, he's the answer. We're okay. trying to figure out things on our own and do them on our own. And in these stories, he brings the characters back to a place of beginning with God and how to restore and get healed and live life so, through him.
So you think this book that you have, who is it being, what's your core group that you're, the demographic that you're targeting it?
You know, this book is dealing with some heavy topics, just like our show.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I looked through the a draft of the book today for whatever reason. Before coming on to talk with you, I was just led to do that.
Oh, good.
And, yes. And this book was actually written 8 years ago.
Wow.
And, you know, God is infamous for that, for giving us things, you know, at least mm-hmm. for myself, ahead of time
mm-hmm.
and at the due time, at the proper time, you know,
right.
it's released.
It's just like having a baby, you know, conception.
Yeah.
You know, it takes this process and time, you know, you go through a little pain, a discomfort, a little bit, you know, getting a little, picking up a little weight, losing the weight, you know, and then when it comes time for delivery, as any mother knows, not every delivery is easy.
Yes. Yes.
So sometimes you need that that additional help. Some mothers are bedridden going through their pregnancy. Some have that delivery just smooth, like a transaction, like it was nothing. And some be in labor for hours. So it's just like anything that God birthed in you. It's just the time and the processing that it may take before it's the time when it needs to be delivered, because delivery is such an awesome place to be, because you got all the doctors, the anesthesias are there, you know, all the help that you need to bring this life. It's just like for this book to come to life and to be circulated in the right places, then that's what he makes available to you.
Yes, yes. Absolutely, Sister Brown. Yes. Yes.
But I wanted, yep, I'm not to cut you off, but listen, what I like about your bio, because you have experienced television, it says film, music, and an event producer, you're all in media, and that's what we are about. Company that we have, Punch TV Studio Network, is about media, and we're having the opportunity for the urban community now to, on our own platform, when we want to say it, how we want to see it, and being the truth as it go out against the untruth, because we have, you know, media is what dictates to people. Like you said, it's a repetition. You turn on the news every day, and they'll play the same story over and over and over and over, whether it's a lie or the truth. It's reaching such a wide variety of people to bring about confusion that you really don't know what the truth is. Well, now we have an opportunity to share our story without it being watered down. We can tell it like it is. And I think that's this is a great opportunity, because now here we are in the midst of our IPO, which is initial public offering, and is being offered to churches everywhere, you know, literally to pastors. And I think what it is, I heard the other day, I heard like a trumpet, a horn blowing, because we've been asleep. We've been asleep. And it's like, mm-hmm. now there's a wake-up call. I have something here, some transportation that's going to get you to where you need to be. You have a vision. You have a dream. And all you need to do is just catch this vision, this dream. And a lot of the answers that we have are in the fulfillment of one man's vision. And that's where God is having us right now, to bring us into a wake-up call. You know, I'm here to help you. So my desire in bringing pastors like yourself that have the talent, that know how to just talk to people and open up their eyes, you know, and that's really spiritual healing. Open up their spiritual eyes, open up their spiritual ears so they can really hear what God is saying and how he's preparing us as a people to come back together. Because we are so powerful and dynamic. It's not that people are just so fearful of us, intimidated, because when we get together and we pull it off, it comes out more than they can even imagine or think. We are a great people.
Hey, amen. Hey, amen, Sister Brown. I love everything that you're saying. And yes, you know, God has really blessed him to be able to ascertain and develop the studio. And I would mm-hmm. definitely encourage pastors to take advantage of that IPO. I mean,
yes.
you know, as we were saying earlier, that's another discussion and conversation in itself. And the topics, just like the Bible said, nothing is new under the sun. And so the mm-hmm. topics, they may get discussed in a little bit of a different manner to include new technologies and things of that nature. But there are other generations, you know, younger people coming through, and we still have to intertwine the biblical with it. And it's an outstanding opportunity for anybody who wants to become a young investor, just learn about Wall Street, and then at the same time be pouring into a mechanism that is going to develop and support our community in terms of jobs
yes.
and just
yes.
Redevelopment. You know, that's huge. So as a media person, I understand, because who are the big conglomerates out there? You know,
mm-hmm.
I have some desires myself in that realm, I should say.
yeah.
But, you know, you look at the NBCs and the Fox TVs and the mm-hmm. ABCs. Why shouldn't we have ownership of that? In fact,
that's true.
All of those people sitting in Hollywood with all of those dollars, God didn't
mm-hmm.
give you increase to still cry about them not acknowledging you at the Oscars. Why haven't you opened your own studio? Why haven't you developed your own Oscar program? It's a special event. Why haven't you had an award created? You've been given the monetary dollars or access to develop all of these things, and access to the cameras, to the equipment, to the studio
yes.
that all of these other people have. So I think we have to ask ourselves, God gives us opportunity. You know, what are we going to do with it, and what type of legacy are we going to leave, not only for
That's
our children,
exactly.
but our children's children? The Bible says a
right.
wise man will leave their children's children an inheritance. Don't sit around and talk about the lack of quality programming and television and reader magazines and listenership radio shows for Christians and African Americans if you're not willing to use your gifts and talents and skills that he gave you to step up to the plate. So we have to constantly talk about that story in the Bible when the gifts were given out. You know, the one man was given the one gift, and the one was given the three,
mm-hmm.
and the other one was given
right.
the five. And when the landowner came back, you know, he wanted to know what had they done with their talent. You know,
that's true.
One of the talent holders, he had doubled his talent, you know, and the other person had gotten some increase as well. But there was one who buried his talent, you know, and the landowner
what did
was
he,
so upset
what do you
with
call
him.
Him wicked?
He called him wicked. You could have at least put my money in the usury, the bank, to draw some interest. But you chose
right,
to do nothing
exactly.
with it. So
exactly.
when we're sitting around in that position, don't look around and then look for respect for somebody. Don't look around and look for an opportunity or a handout because it was given to you. So what did you do with it? You know, and I understand there are some people who just had a tough time. We've had to work for ours, too. This does not come overnight. when God gives you a vision or he tells you to do something, we still have to have the faith to walk it out. You know, sometimes, and I tell people about this myself, I'm very tunnel vision when it comes to the Lord. You can't look to the left. You can't look behind you nowhere but what's in front of you. And if
That's
it causes
true.
People and associations and things to drop off, then let them drop off. Because you have,
awesome.
Have better, you are better being in a position doing what God, the Creator, has called you to do than
Most
looking
definitely.
Around to man for their approval and for them to wait to promote you and tell you what you're doing is right and wrong. No, you have the Creator to stamp that for you, to ink it for
right.
you, to sign that contract and that deal. All you have to go through now is do and execute what he's given you.
Well, listen, you have been listening to Pastor Stephanie Maxwell Ropes, Robles, on the Pastors for Punch TV. And this was an awesome interview, but our time is running out. But we want you just to go on Facebook. You'll be able to hear this conversation again and share it with somebody. And not only that, you can get your pastor on this talk show also. All you need to do is just go on the Facebook and either pull up our website, which is punchtvstudios.com. But we have somebody very important that controls this show, and we're going to let her have all the time that she needs to bring us to an end at this time. And then, Pastor Stephanie, thank you again so much for joining our show. And again, I am your host, Joy Brown.
What a blessing it has been. Thank you so much for having me today, Ms. Brown, and I look forward to maybe coming again one day.
Thank you,
thank
Pastor
you.
Stephanie. You have been a wonderful guest, and we are honored that you decided to join us on the Pastors for Punch TV with host Joy Brown. And I just also wanted to let you know that one of the things that we like to do here at Punch TV Studios is to invite our guests to join us on our social media network, which is called Nabuki.com, and that's Nabuki.com. And what Nabuki allows us to do is to follow you and to follow what you have going on. And I'm sure that you are going to have a lot going on, because I can tell right now that people may come and listen to you and they may be asleep and they may be tired, but by the time you finish speaking and by the time you finish talking, they are on their feet. They are fired up because you have that fire in you. And that's why I know and I can tell that God is working through you as a vessel, because you have that fire that's going to change the world. So we invite you to join us in changing the world. I mean, we are definitely making a difference in the lives of ordinary people at Punch TV Studios. We would love to have our CEO, Pastor Joseph Collins, come out to San Diego to speak to people in your network. Whatever we can do to work together, that's what we would like to do. We announced yesterday that we're even giving away free stock in Punch TV Studios, because our CEO said he wanted to have millions and millions of people be able to get in on the Punch TV Studios IPO 2.0. So even if they cannot afford it, he's going to give free stock. So, again, Pastor Stephanie, we want to thank you for being a guest on the show. To all our listeners, thank you for tuning in. This has been an amazing week. We definitely have to thank Joy Brown for being the host with the most, who brings the guests, who are the best. So, everyone, have a wonderful weekend, and we will see you next Wednesday on the Pastors for Punch TV.